Jen, thank you for the shoes analogy. It took 62 years to find the right shoe for me. I must begin with a confession. I'm a 63-year-old Korean man. The hair along my forehead has begun to thin. If I speak for more than 30 minutes, my voice begins to clack with a phlegm. On nights when I don't sleep well, I have to battle the dark circles under my eyes the next day. Years of typing at the computer have left me wrestling with the carpal tunnel syndrome in my fingers. My body keeps a score of every passing day. But there is something else about me has been true for much longer. I have rarely been satisfied. My Canadian friends even gave me a nickname, Mr. Insatiable. It's not because I'm greedy for money or fame. Rather, it's because I have always carried within me a deep longing. I have always been searching. Searching for meaning, searching for growth, searching for challenge. Perhaps it's simply part of my personality, an INFJ, which I believe Jesus may also have been. I cannot rarely rest for very long. Something inside me always asking, what next? What more? What deeper truth remains to be discovered? And so my life has been filled with fleeting and wondering. Even when I was climbing the corporate ladder at Samsung Group in Korea, when my career seemed to secure and my future stable, something in my heart remained restlessness. Even when I had the privilege of living in Germany and traveling through nearly one-third of the whole world, my heart was not satisfied. In the year 2000, I took a leave of absence and came to the United States for graduate studies. There, I met professors and students working in NGOs, people who are dedicating their whole lives to justice, compassion, and world peace. Their lives inspired me deeply. Eventually, I made a decision that surprised many people. I chose not to return to Samsung. But even then, I was not satisfied. Later, I served as an advisory board member for the City of North Vancouver. In 2004, I founded a nonprofit organization in Vancouver. Over the years, it grew and flourished. I wrote books every 2 years. I traveled widely, teaching and lecturing in many places. From the outside, everything seemed to be going well. And yet, somewhere deep in my heart, a small empty hole remained. I couldn't find contentment. So I kept asking myself a difficult question. If everything seems going well, why am I still not satisfied? That question began a long journey for me. A journey that eventually led me to ask even deeper questions. Where can true contentment be found? What's the final destination of a human life? Where can we find the life with gratitude comfort, and hope. And eventually, another question emerged, one I had to try very hard to avoid. What if I became a pastor? What if I could my whole life do God's work, building and nurturing the church? And so today, I want to share with you a story. The story of how I became, almost against my will, an accidental pastor. But more importantly, it's the story of the kind of pastor I hope to become. Because I do not want to become merely the 11th pastor in a church, leaving no particular trace of faithfulness behind. I want my ministry, however small and humble, to reflect something meaningful about the heart of God. So let me begin with a simple question. What exactly is a pastor? The English word pastor comes from the Greek word poimen, which appeared about 18 times in the New Testament. But interestingly, in 17 of those instances, it translated as shepherd. Only once in Ephesians 4:11 is translated as pastor. Jesus himself said, "I am the good shepherd." And when scripture described the shepherd who watched their flocks at night near Bethlehem, the same word is used, shepherd. This tells us something important. In the Bible, a pastor is not primarily a religious professional. A pastor is a shepherd, someone who cares for people, guides them, and helps them grow in faith. In other words, a pastor is not simply someone who runs a church and does chores on others' behalf to please them. A well-known theologian and my personal spiritual mentor, Eugene Peterson, once spoke very honestly about this. He said, "I did not want to be a pastor who ran a church. I did not want to become a religious professional within an institution. I did not want to measure my worth by whether people approved of me or ignored me. A pastor is not a job, it's a calling." I resonate deeply with those words. Let me tell you about someone I meet regularly in Abbotsford, BC, where I came from. In our townhouse complex, there is an elderly woman named Karen. I often see her when I walk my dog around the neighborhood. On a rainy winter morning, very typical for British Columbia, the moment she sees me, she begins to talk. She tells about her husband, Ken, who struggles to breathe and can barely move. He lives dependent on a wheelchair. Then she tells about her children and about the worries and struggles of everyday life. 20 minutes pass, sometimes 30. Eventually she pauses, slightly embarrassed, and says something like this, "Being a pastor must be exhausting. You have to listen to long stories like mine, and they are not exactly cheerful stories. But I do not find those conversations exhausting, because this is what a pastor is called to do. A pastor listens. A pastor notices. A pastor makes space for another person's story. Still, for many years, I resisted becoming a pastor. Even though I studied theology at AMBS and Regent College in Vancouver, my passion was not pastoral care. My passion was mission and evangelism. I dreamed of traveling the world, learning from the people in places poorer than ours, places more broken and desperate. I did not want to bring them some grand theology. I hoped instead they would evangelize me, enlighten me, that through them I might be transformed. To be honest, I also hesitated because I had seen too many pastors become trapped in church politics and daily bread. For several years, I served on the pastoral credentialing committee of MCBC. I interviewed many candidates for ministry, and sometimes I found myself discouraged. Too often, pastoring seemed to become just another profession, no different from any other job. So I told myself firmly, I should never become a pastor. But at times, God turned the situation around. In 2022, I received unexpected email from Tim Neufeld, inviting me to consider serving Holyrood Mennonite Church in Edmonton. I responded honestly, if this is only about maintaining the institution, I told him, I'm not the right person. But if the church wants to pursue vision, challenge itself, and move forward, then perhaps we can talk. And somehow, through that conversation, something began to change inside me. Slowly, hope began to grow. After completing my 18 months intentional interim pastorate there, Shim and I returned to British Columbia. During this season of transition, we visited Korea. One Sunday, we attended a local Anglican church where I experienced a quiet but unmistakable moment of inspiration during the Eucharist service. I felt as though a voice whispered within my heart, your ministry is not finished yet. So I made a promise, God, if you ask me to serve again, I will. And eventually that promise led me here, not because I was the best candidate, not because I outperformed others, but simply because I was invited by your generous and curious risk-taking for the future of the church, and I responded to that invitation wholeheartedly. Now the important question becomes this: what kind of pastor then do I hope to be? Not a grand pastor, not a famous preacher like John Chrysostom in early church history, whose eloquent homily earned him the nickname Golden Mouth. My preaching is not that powerful. Even after 26 years in North America, studying two graduate studies, my English still carries the accent of my first language. But I believe a pastor does not need to be impressive. A pastor needs to embody two simple, tangible virtues: availability and hospitality. Those two qualities lie at the very heart of Christian faith as well. Think about the miracle of the Incarnation. The Gospel of John tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Greek word for dwelt literally means that God pitched his tent among us. God did not send a message from a distance. God came close. He became available physically. He allowed people to approach him, touch him, question him, interrupt him, cry before him, eat with him, and walk beside him. The incarnation is the ultimate act of divine availability. And pastoral ministries grows out of the same truth. A pastor is not the CEO of a religious institution. A pastor is not a motivational speaker. A pastor is someone who reflects the available God to a lonely, needy world. Availability means being interruptible. It means being willing to listen. It means allowing another person's story to matter. And from that availability grows the second virtue, hospitality, a tangible form of welcome. When we hear the word hospitality, we often imagine dinner parties or guest rooms. But the Bible's vision is much deeper. Hebrews tells us, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. The spiritual writer Henry Nouwen once described hospitality as creating a free and friendly space where strangers can become friends. Notice that phrase, free space. Not a perfect space, not a controlled space. A free space where people are allowed simply to be themselves. In the Gospel of Luke, we see the story of Mary and Martha. Martha worked hard to prepare the house for Jesus, but she became distracted and anxious. Mary simply sat at Jesus' feet and listened. Jesus gently reminded Martha that presence matters more than performance. And that is also true for pastors. The primary task of a pastor is not administration. It's not even preaching, even though preaching is important. The primary task of a pastor is to embody the welcome of God, to help create a community where people experience the open door of grace. So this is the kind the pastor I hope to be. Not an impressive pastor, but available one. Not a guarded pastor, but a hospitable one. Not a pastor who tried to create a special religious elite, but a pastor who follows the humble character of Jesus. Not a pastor who restricts others, but a pastor who makes room for others. And in the end, this calling belongs to not only pastors, it belongs to all of us as a church and Christ followers. The final vision of the Bible is not a noble lesson. It's not a lousy ceremony. It's a meal, a simple and all-inclusive banquet. Scripture describes the fulfillment of God's kingdom as a marriage supper of the Lamb, a great table where all are invited. The final act of God is hospitality. Every Sunday, when we gather as a church, we rehearse that future. The table is set. The door is open. The only question is whether we will live as the people of that open door, that open banquet. Because once we realize that we ourselves have been welcomed by God, we cannot help but welcome others. The world became flesh. God pitched his tent among us. God made himself available and hospitable. And now we are called to do the same, to become people of the open door, the patient listening ear, and welcoming table. Not because it comes naturally to us, but because we have first been welcomed ourselves. Dear brothers and sisters, when hospitality and availability come together, they create a distinctive kind of community. A home where people feel genuinely welcomed. A conversation where people feel truly heard. A church where strangers are received as guests, not as treated as a project. A friend where presence is given freely, not out of obligation. This is the kind of community that reflects the heart of God, a God who makes room, welcomes others, and remains present with God's people. May we become people who make room, for this is the image of God we are called to embody and embrace as the body of Christ. Looking back, I now understand why I was called to become a pastor. Not by accident, but by God's gracious providence. For much of life, I was Mr. Insatiable, always searching for something more. Yet, God has been teaching me a different way, the way of availability, the way of hospitality, the way of presence. And so today, I aspire to be Mr. Available. I aspire to be your Mr. Available. What about you? Will you make room for God? Will you make room for one another? Will you make yourself available to the surprising work of the Spirit among us? May we become people who make room, people who create generous space for God and for others. Amen.